I chose that song because it uses the term Mr. And Dr. Julia Depress, Senior Lecturer in Linguistics at Massey University, joins us on the phone now to talk about terms of address. How are you, Julia?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good. Looking forward to talking to you about this. But first, how was your Anzac weekend and did you eat any Anzac biscuits?
I did take advantage of the biscuits. I'm not a big fan of Anzac Day myself. That's another whole topic. But I did eat the biscuits, yes.
So this evening we're talking about terms of address, which I haven't really thought about in such a long time, but it's such a huge discussion. What motivated you to sort of want to talk about this topic with me tonight?
Yeah, well, it's kind of hit that point in the semester where I get a lot of emails from students asking me for extensions, and I just noticed all the different ways that they address me. So I've had, in the past few weeks, I've had Hi Miss, I've had Dear Sir, and I even had one saying Hey Ya Queen, which was my personal favourite. And it just got me thinking about, you know, the ways we react to these different terms of address and how we feel about them, because we've all got so many options.
I know. What there are lots of options. What is a term of address? Is it? It's just a name that we call someone, or is there more to it?
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it because there's lots of different ones we can use. So, like, the general definition would be that it's a word, phrase, name, or title that's used to address someone in speaking or writing. So this can include nicknames or pejorative terms like loser or something, or terms of endearment like honey, darling, and so on, or pronouns even, you know, hey, you, or tēnā koe and Māori. So there's quite a lot of them. When we're talking about these ones, like in my emails, Miss, Sir and Queen, then we're talking about titles in particular. So that's a sort of subset of terms of address.
So it's changed a lot over time. Like just when you said that you were called, you know, Queen on the email, that's so rife, but probably in the last couple of years. What titles do we prefer? Or can we start back at the beginning? Because they were very, I mean, for example, one thing that I really want to talk to you about that irritates me and has since I was a little child, mm-hmm. even though I didn't quite understand it, was that men only had one option of Mr. But as a woman, we could choose Mrs., Miss or Ms. Where did that come about from?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually, you know, it's got a very sexist basis because what's happening there is really women are classified by whether or not they're married or unmarried or don't want to say or you don't know. And so it's all about marital status, so our relationship to men, whereas men just have Mr. So it's definitely, we might not perceive it in the individual level as particularly sexist, some of us anymore, but it's got a very sexist basis. And I know when I was growing up, I'm 43, and in the 80s when I was a kid, I was a feminist pretty early on, and I really wanted Ms., you know, as soon as I worked out what was going on there. But I do remember at the time that it was kind of radical to go for Ms. as a young woman back in the 80s. And I haven't actually thought about it that much since, but I've kept with Ms. right the way through. But I kind of wonder, you know, what's it like now for other women or for younger women? Is it still got that radical connotation, or is it just, you know, has it just become the standard, you know, that people would go for, and Miss and Mrs. become, you know, deviant or whatever? I'm really not sure.
What do you like? Well, you're so right, actually, because I was a child of the 80s as well, and I loved Ms. because I hated being a Miss. That made me feel quite young. But Ms. was sort of, a little bit mysterious. Like, who was she? Where did she come from?
Yes, so exactly. I looked into it, and it's actually was first used in the 17th century, so it's really old, but it was popularised in the 70s and in a super feminist way, because it was actually like Germaine Greer who named her feminist magazine Ms. Magazine. It was that kind of act that spread the use of Ms. to the wider, you know, wider population. So it's, you know, Germaine Greer is basically behind it. So it was in origin quite radical.
So interesting. What about for men? I mean, men get Mr., but there is also Master. I remember I had a little baby brother born and everyone called him Master Ryan. And I remember thinking, how come I wasn't a Master?
I know. I would totally go for that one if it was available to me. I think it's super cool. So I don't have a boy. I've got a girl. So I haven't sort of experienced too much of that coming directed towards me. So I don't know how often, if it is still widely used. I think it's got a bit of an air of old-fashioned about it, to my ear at least. And there's also the question of, you know, when do you shift? Because apparently it depends. Like in the UK, apparently the NHS, the health service, will address letters to little boys with master until they're 18, which is quite old, as adult. Whereas apparently in the United States, it sort of tapers off about 12, and then there's this period where they just use your first name. This is the recommended kind of etiquette guidelines. And then when you are 18, you shift to Mister. So there's this kind of vagueness around when you stop being a master and just have to be a boring old Mister.
That is so fascinating. I really haven't thought about it. So, what about these days? We're very open about sexuality now and people's different types of, what they identify with. And, a lot of people these days are gender neutral. How does that confuse the apple cart or,
So there is a new term that people are using if they're non-binary, or sometimes if they just don't want to disclose what their gender is. And that's mix, MX. And the X there is supposed to, it's not to signaling a kind of mixed gender, but rather just a kind of a wild card letter, which means it could be anything, and so that's also been around for a while. Technically, apparently it was introduced in the 70s, but no one really picked it up and ran with it. And it's been over the past 5 or so years that people have really started using it as part of, as you say, these kind of discussions around gender inclusivity and so on. And it's turned up in dictionaries, and I've noticed on, quite a lot of forms. You can have it at the hospital in Wellington where I go, and you can a lot of Google forms allow you to use it now as a title as well.
So it will
So
say, yeah,
that's
what is
quite a
your
big
name?
change.
Yeah, Miss, Mrs., Mr. MX, or that's a different option now.
It is. And I think that's really growing. There's a lot of variation there, as you see, when it comes to language change. So it's interesting. I don't know.
I've
It'd
had
be
some.
interesting to know what some of the how the listeners feel about it, what they
Well,
what they
let me
prefer,
read
because I
out.
think we have reactions, to it. If
Oh.
someone calls us one we don't like it, but which one don't we like? That's the question.
I have been asking. I've been asking, and let me read out some of the messages that have come in. Lavinia
Okay.
messaged in, and she said that her son still receives letters from the hospital addressed to him as Master, and he's 12. So maybe when
Okay.
he's 13, it might drop off. We're not sure. Someone said, "Oh, the worst is ma'am when someone calls you ma'am." Yeah. As a widower. As a widower, missus is actually completely meaningless as it doesn't indicate whether your spouse is alive or not. I alternate between missus and ms. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Another person says, what about the series basis of the collective use of guys to address groups? I really despise this. I'm a miss and very proudly never married. I have to admit, I think I've got into a bad habit of calling groups of people guys. Hey guys, hey. I mean, I've stopped that in recent years, but that's definitely a term that, people call groups.
It's another one that is like historically clearly gendered. It refers to men, a bit like the term bro as well. You can't say they're not gendered in origin, but there's different perspectives on whether they remain gendered in the current day. So some people do use guys and think of it as being gender neutral, and other people will find that, very much to not be the case. I have tended to use it quite a lot. Like, maybe try not to now, but it slips out. And I basically have tried to stop using it because it is received as gendered by some people, and I don't want to, contribute to that. But certainly for maybe the first, 40 years of my life, I would have used guys all over the show. So,
Well, the funny thing is, I think we might have used guys, to try and be slightly feminist when we were young. We're like, yeah, we're going to call the girls guys because that's cool. We can call anyone guys. But yeah, it's funny how it's twisted again.
It's really interesting, that kind of stuff, because it is, the fact that if when we decide to use a term for a whole bunch of people, we lean towards the masculine one, kind of suggests that there is this gendered element still there. I think about it, it's not about language, but with things like school uniforms, when there's been this move to have gender neutral school uniforms at intermediates or whatever. And when you do that, it's not giving everyone necessarily the option to wear a dress. It is very much like, let's all wear shorts and t-shirts. So there's a masculine lean to it. And I think that can turn up in language as well. You don't see someone addressing a room saying, "Hey, ladies," if there's a mixed gender group there. So I think it's I think that that kind of sexist element does remain. It's just not something that's always at the level of awareness. And you get in there to the whole discussion around, intent versus effect when it comes to language. So I don't think, I think often we don't have gendered or sexist intent in the ways that we talk, but we have to think about how it comes off to others always as well.
Yes. You're so true. Heather in Tauranga has just messaged in, and she said, as a Pākehā just over 60, she likes being called bro. It's a term of respect, not being female, that I like being called. And she likes also to be called auntie. I love being called auntie as well. I think that's a term of respect. But bro is a, yeah, I'm funny with bro. I don't, yeah.
I actually quite like it, and again, I feel a little bit guilty about that, but I do tend to use bro quite a lot, ironically, and I'll often use it with women, probably more with women than men, to kind of, flip it on its head, I suppose. So again, it's yeah, it's a delicate area, I suppose. But I think the thing about bro is it's so enmeshed in our kind of like New Zealand English culture anyway. We've heard it used so often as a kind of term of solidarity between people. It's got a kind of it's got a Māori element to it as well, given that it's kind of a kinship term that there's a lot of kinship terms in Māori that then turn up in New Zealand English, like auntie and kas and sis and bro. And so there's all these kind of like positive associations around the world that I think are set off in positive ways for some people when using it. But I completely get it how some people just don't want that. So yeah.
Yeah. Speaking about the Māori language, I love auntie, but they have the word whaia and mātua for, names or terms of endearment in a sense. Can you tell me more about other cultures or how linguistics work like that? Just, even just focusing on Māori for a bit, do they have a Mrs. or Mr. or do they just have a whaia mātua?
Yeah, they don't actually have titles in the sense of Mr. or Mrs. There's other terms of address like e hoa, friend, or
Oh,
e
true.
te rangatira, writing to someone to convey respect. So there's other forms like that, but there's not this Mr. and Mrs. situation. In terms like matua and whaia, or for older people, koro and kuia, terms that they are gendered, because matua means like dad, uncle, older male, who you respect, and same for whaia, and then you have the older level with kuia and koro. And so they have that, they are gendered, but mainly I think it is around age. It's around referring to someone who's older than you and conveying respect to them by the use of these terms. So that's really interesting, I think, in Māori, that age comes into it in a way that it doesn't in English. And that's because of the kind of social structures in Māori where there is a lot of respect for older people. And that's right built and built into the culture and the language.
There's not defined ages, though, is there? I have a very funny story. A friend of mine is in full immersion Māori this year, and it's a really diverse age range of class. But she's been called Fire, and she was like, I didn't know I was an auntie. She saw herself still as a young student, but she's been, so there is a little bit of that in Māoridom, I believe, too.
I had my dad had that when people started calling him Koro. He was like, oh wow, well, I'm really old now. But it's a nice term, like it is about a way of showing respect to people. So I think it's yeah, there's a feeling of being respected when you have those terms used about you too. I think that's a beautiful thing. But it's just that, in different cultures, people show respect in different ways. And that's, yeah, something I really noticed when I was living in Europe, was just the differences in terms of what was appropriate in terms of address. And so it's very formal. And well, I was living in Luxembourg, but I had a lot of colleagues from Germany. And I remember in particular with the Germans, we had a boss, he was called Georg Mein, and I called him Georg, just George basically. But his colleagues, who knew better than me, the Germans would refer to him as Herr Professor Doctor Mein, which is Mr. Professor Doctor Mein. And I was just like, oh, come on. Do you really need the three titles? This guy, you work with him every day. But that was, that kind of formality was a way of being respectful. Just like I think in New Zealand, certainly in Pākehā culture, and just generally speaking English, we show respect often by informality, by being friendly. So using first names with the doctor or with the teacher or someone in a position of authority is actually a way of acknowledging relationship. And that's a form of politeness too. But it doesn't translate well over across different linguistic cultures. And that's where, you get into problems, I suppose, cross-culturally.
Julia, you're a doctor. I introduced you as Dr. Julia Depress. Do you push people on that, or do you get embarrassed when people call you doctor?
I hate it. Yeah, I really hate it. And I think that's my New Zealand culture coming through really strongly. And I certainly, when I was in Luxembourg, I had a different title. I was associate professor. And so all of the students would call me Professor Debress the whole time, if it wasn't Madame Debress, which was also awful. And I was like, oh, can you just call me Julia? But I did realize after a while that made them quite uncomfortable. You know, like for them, you know, being polite involved maintaining a kind of respectful distance, and me being too friendly just came across as weird. And so I had to kind of pull back and, you know, let them do what they needed to do to feel like they had the right kind of professional relationship with me. And I think in the end, they did appreciate that I was more informal. I'd get feedback about that, friendly or whatever. Everyone thinks New Zealanders are so friendly over there, partly for these kind of reasons. But I really learned quite quickly, you know, I need to actually let them do it the way that they want to do it, because it isn't friendly to everyone. Our way of being friendly in New Zealand or in Pākehā culture just not going to come off the same to people from elsewhere. And we just have to be really aware of that. Often we have these norms of politeness and so on, so ingrained in us from a young age. You know, say please, say thank you, to maintain eye contact, do this, do that. And often the things we do are just the exact same things are quite rude elsewhere. Eye contact is a great example, because you look at someone in the eyes here, it's supposed to be polite, but in the many Asian cultures and Pacific cultures too, looking down is polite if you're talking to a superior. So you've just got an absolute clash of linguistic and other behaviours in terms of what you're trying to do, be polite.
Yes, totally. I remember a time at school, I think it was, you know, after I'd left primary school, but suddenly there was this new age thing of calling teachers by their first name. Must have been in the 90s perhaps. And I remember, even now still, I feel quite uncomfortable with it, because I think I like that formality and that sort of distance, but perhaps it's just a different way of learning as well. There must be pros and cons to both.
I feel like we all have our lines, because I did feel a bit miffed when I got this email with the high miss. I just thought, oh, you know, and it's not often that is the case for me. You know, I do want informality, but it does, I think there's certain contexts, you know, and certainly in academia and I guess business and all sorts of areas, there's such a pattern for women to have their authority diminished. And so in certain contexts where you can feel that potentially, maybe not even, but it could be happening, it doesn't feel great, you know. And certainly I've noticed that at academic conferences also, when like women are introduced, you know, you'll see someone will say, oh, we've had Dr. Smith and Dr. Jones talking about this, and now we've got Carol, and Carol will come and talk to us, and they're just only using the titles for the men, you know. So I think that sometimes that comes into play. It's like the broader context of those kind of social norms can be triggered at certain points in certain contexts. And in other cases, maybe if someone called me miss, it wouldn't hit the same way.
No. Oh, that's so fascinating. I want to read out some of the wonderful messages we've got in. Would love to see the word woman restored to the respect that man has. Really dislike lady and ladies. So fake and frilly. Actually, ladies is quite, ladies has a bit of a greasy term for it, I think.
It
hey, ladies.
Yeah. It's right.
You go.
I was just thinking about how that's another thing that happens with words that refer to women. They often acquire this greasiness you're referring to, like even madam and mistress, you know, they were nice. They were nice words back at the beginning, but we had to get rid of them because mistress, you know, had these like connotations that were sexualized, and madam, you know. And so it's almost like you use a term to refer to a woman, and if you're not careful, it's going to start to end up rude, which is why mister's just been able to stay static.
Oh my God, totally.
So I get that definitely about ladies for sure.
Someone else said, I'm a 55-year-old male and I dislike being called bro by my sister. I have a name. As for calling woman bro, are you serious? Never heard it. Interesting conversation, another message says, male nurse colleagues of mine use the term sister deliberately, ironically for male nurses. I think it's not meant maliciously, but it's just what they do. Oh, that's quite interesting. So maybe they're playing around.
Yeah, I think they're playing around with the norms. A bit like you find sometimes with gay men who are using feminized terms for other gay men. It's kind of like shaking up the system. And I think male nurses are kind of, you know, obviously a minority numerically, but also probably face a bit of prejudice and so on working in that area as men. And so maybe it's their way of kind of like pushing on buttons a bit and being a bit subversive. I think it sounds cool, yeah. I guess.
So, Julia, rounding up, how should we go forward on this? I mean, is it something that if we meet a new group or meet a new person, you know, we take them aside and say, you know, can I call you a nickname? Or how do we go about it moving forward? Because it seems to be changing quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that's always the way to go. You know, with all of these things, really, with language, it's like ask if it's to refer to the person, then just ask them, what do you prefer? I think is always, you know, is a good starting point, and make options available, because I think that if people have a term that they prefer and then, you know, your form doesn't cater for that, then that's, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And if someone meets you, you don't want to be called doctor, just Julia?
Yeah, just Julia. Julia's good. Julia every time, I think, most times, yeah.
Julia, thank you so much for your time. This is so fascinating. And, let me know your thoughts at home too, 2101, and I'll report them all back to Julia too. And hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Great. Thanks, Charlotte. Bye.
That's Julia DeBress. She's actually called Dr. Julia DeBress, a senior lecturer in linguistics at Massey University.